Thank you. You may be seated. I want to do something different before I share the word again. Now, if you have been blessed by the word this morning or last night, just come and tell us 1-2 minutes. Or if you have a question you want to ask, I just give you a little bit of time for some question and answer, or something that you've been blessed last night and this morning. Just 1-2 minutes. Anybody? How the word of the Lord has ministered to you or blessed you. Just quickly come.
Hi, I'm Callan. And hi. And I was blessed before. But the intensity of how I've been blessed now, so amazing. I can't even begin to tell you how I've been blessed. And I know that every single one of you here have been blessed. I don't know how it is, but I know it is. And I just wanted to share that with you all. And thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sister, would you come? You can ask question also if you something you want to clarify or something you want to know about us.
I'm feeling really strengthened. Last night, the word to seek God. And I've just had a strengthening of that. And then this morning, I've got a licorice all sort of life, but there's one particular issue. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me in revelation and vision. And as I seek God, the vision happens through the wind of the Spirit. And praise God.
Wonderful. Just quickly come. What happened to the man? This is the third lady.
Hi, I'm Christine and I'm Kate's friend and I'm from St. Mary's Catholic Church, and we've got an image that we're all on the same ballroom, you know, different dance, and just seek God was just so powerful last night. You are disarmingly simple, yeah, and it's really just gone right through my spirit, so thank you very much.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Any man here? You are blessed? Only the ladies are blessed? All right. Well, ladies, you can come. I'm not closing you. You can ask questions also if you, you know. Why? You got a loud voice?
She will be coming. She had to go and take the daughter to her dad.
I hope.
Anyway, I've enjoyed it. I was here last night and I had a beautiful night. Nice dreams, but I'm not going to tell you. And I've come back this morning with my friend and her daughter. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Awesome. You see, the lady just needed that word, you know, so much. All right.
We're all children. We're all children of God, and He speaks to His children in different ways. And as we open our hearts, He just puts in hope and life and health within us. And that's what He's starting to do with me. So I thank Him for it. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Yes.
Yoram Daniel, I think one thing that really challenged me in my heart is to what God has spoken to me with Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh, learning to let go of the past, learning to let go of what happened to my brother, and moving forward and embracing Ephraim. I just want to encourage all of you, maybe if you are going through that time, and you think God has forsaken you, do not always hold on to Him and never let go.
Amen. Beautiful.
Kia ora whānau. So last night we had our youth event. We did have a plan to go, and our event was called Dindins. And we were going to do a progressive dinner and go to all the different places around the city to have a feed. And instead it was raining so hard. And then I was just looking out the window up until 3 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock I knew I had to make a decision. So I contacted the event organiser. I says, we have to cancel, we have to reschedule everything, all of our youth, we need to have an early dindins and meet here at 5:30 instead of 6:30, and then we're going to come and be a part of the youth service. And we were praying, and we says, let's just pray that our plan B will be as equally important as and valuable as our plan A. And what was really encouraging last night is that we had one of our youth leaders, Maria Scaletti. She's just over there. She's just finished school. And it wouldn't be right for, you know, I know how humble she is and she wouldn't want to share about this, so I'm going to share about it. But she actually spoke about seeking the Lord, searching for Him. And we often search for so many things. And it was just really encouraging to come into this house. Not only was the worship amazing, our kids lifting up their hands, most of them are new. So it was just a huge breakthrough. Not only that, it was good to have the word confirmed when you brought the word last night, especially being in line with what Maria Scaletti brought last night. So thank you.
Awesome, isn't it? Wow, praise the Lord. One last one. Anybody here? Okay.
I'm all dressed up really fancy, so I thought I'd stand up. The word that spoke to me so much was for our children to have their own faith, their own seeking of God. And because I was blessed to have my moko son's bestie come over and stay. So it was really cool. So it was like straight from here, back home, pray that over them, that they'll have their own relationship and they will talk and seek God themselves and not rely on somebody else's, their parents or their nannies, walking God. Yeah, so thank you.
Praise the Lord. Give Jesus a wonderful clap. I'll let you sit down, brother. You can take a seat, okay. All right, come with me to the book of Ruth. I'm just continuing the seasons, a birth of a new season. Now, I'm sure, how many of you have read the book of Ruth? It's just awesome. Now, I believe there's a prophetic word from the book of Ruth this morning for you. And you may not see the book of Ruth in this way, but actually there's four seasons in the book of Ruth. All right? Joshua, Judges, Ruth. I belong to the dinosaur generation. I like hard copy. I want to see the word of God. All right, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Now, just to let you know that this year is a very significant year. It's 2017. In the Hebrew calendar, it's 5777. If you know anything about Bible numerics, 5 is the number of grace, 7 is the number of God. 5777 will be repeated in 1,000 years from now. Did that send a chill on your spine? 5777 will be repeated again in 1,000 years. That means it's a rare occurrence. It's a rare occurrence. And Donald Trump being inaugurated as a president, 45th president, in 2017, and he was 70 years old. You think it's a coincidence? Anyway, what I'm saying is, this year is a very special year for Israel. It's a very special year for the church. All right? And I don't know when I'm going to release another word about this year, but just don't miss any of the service, all right? Call up somebody. And I believe that we come here not by accident. So God has a word for your church, for you individually. All right, the book of Ruth, please. Ruth started with famine. Came to pass in the days when judges ruled, there was a famine. The first season for chapter 1, famine. Now, when we talk about famine, of course, it's a lack of bread. But famine could also mean lack of whatever in your life right now. Is there something in the life that you're lacking? Friends? Open doors? Breakthrough? Is there something lacking in your life? Finance, joy. It's surprisingly how many Christians have lost their joy. And all they do is complain and complain and complain. If you're a Kiwi and you still complain, there's no place for you in the world anymore. Truly, you're very blessed to be in this land. You do not know how blessed you are. I've been to 51 nations, as I said last night. New Zealand is one of the best in the world. You've got hardly any pollution. You've got so much food, you've got so much lamb, you've got so much beef, and it's so cheap, and you know, fresh vegetables. You have such a beautiful country. Your dollar is very high compared to Malaysia. When you come to Malaysia, you live like a king. You know, it's 3-1. I mean, 1-3. One New Zealand dollar is about 3 Malaysian ringgit. And you are so blessed. It's a peaceful country. You don't have fear of terrorism. And you don't have immigrant problem. And, you know, you give thanks for this nation. All right? However, even in a season like this, you may have lack. And sometimes we go through lack. Not necessarily food. It can be any area of your life. But I want to tell you something. Rejoice, because the best season is yet to come. This season is not forever. It's just temporary. Right? Now, in this season of lack and famine, it can be very cruel. Abimelech make a wrong decision. Together with his wife and two sons, they move to Moab. They were from Bethlehem. Bethlehem strangely means the house of bread, but there's no bread. How many churches today are supposed to be a house of bread, but there's no bread? I mean fresh bread. Fresh manna, not the stale canned one. Really fresh bread. And how many Christians are dying of famine spiritually? So they moved to Moab. Wrong place, wrong time, wrong people. They lost. The husband died and the two sons died. Wow. Can you imagine left with three widows? So Naomi decided to go back to Bethlehem. And verse 20. Let me just zero on verse 20. Naomi says, "Do not call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." First of all, when you make a wrong decision in life, make a U-turn. I believe Naomi and Elimelech and the two sons make a wrong decision by moving to Moab. Sometimes in our Christian life, we may make a wrong decision, whatever decision we make, then we found it's wrong. There's no blessing, there's problem, there's situation, there's crisis. Make a U-turn. Anybody here drive? You're going north, but the map is showing you you're going south. What do you do? Look for a U-turn. Make a U-turn. It's okay to make a U-turn. We all make mistakes. Right? Now, when you go through famine season, when you go through a season of lack, a crisis, a difficult time, don't be bitter. Naomi says, don't call me Naomi, pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. How many of you know it's not God? We usually blame God, or the government, or our wife, our husband, or the church, or the pastor. We are like Adam and Eve. We like to blame somebody. Right? When God came to Adam and Eve, Adam said, it's my wife, Eve, that gave me the fruit. And when it came to Eve said, it's the serpent. And when God came to serpent, the serpent got nobody to blame, got no feet to stand on. Okay, never mind, I didn't catch a joke. But don't blame people. Look at the mirror. You make the mistake. You make the wrong decision. You are suffering the consequences, not somebody else. So if you make a wrong decision, a wrong move, make a U-turn. And don't blame God. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the government. Watch that whatever you go through should not make you bitter, but make you better. You should not be bitter, but you should be better. You learn from the painful lesson. Because God is not finished with you. God is more interested in your character than your pain. Ouch. He wants to see the Christ-likeness in you that comes out. And He allows pain. Because in the pain, there is a purpose. Now, don't think pain is negative. Thank God for pain. If you put your hand over the fire and you don't feel pain, that is a sorry state. Hello? If you have a cut and you don't feel pain, that is a sorry state. You may lose your whole finger. Thank God for pain. Pain awakens you that something is wrong. Pain awakens you that you're in the wrong place. You're making a wrong decision. And there is a message, there is a purpose in that pain that you're going through right now. So in this season of lack, watch your heart. When you go through crisis, when you go through problem, when you go through challenges, when you go through storms, watch your heart. You see, what happens outside is beyond you. There's nothing you can change. But what happened inside, it's under your own control. You can decide to be a bitter person or be a better person after the divorce. You can decide to be a bitter person or a better person after you lost your job. Are you there? Now, the first service I shared about how I was disciplined by the church for 1 year. Do you know I could be bitter? But I choose to forgive them. You know what's so amazing? It's a big church. It's a huge church. It's a mega church. There are a few thousand people. Do you know? About 10 years ago, they invited me back to speak. You know what they asked me to speak? On the prophetic. How about that? How about that? Now, if I choose to be bitter and not forgive the church and the leadership for doing wrong to me, God will never open the door for me to go back. And do you know when I went back there, I sold so much of my books and tapes and about 200 people came for my conference. Give Jesus a wonderful clap. Now, isn't that beautiful? Being not bitter and releasing forgiveness, even though the person who did wrong to you do not deserve it. Forgiveness is not for those who hurt you. Forgiveness is for yourself. That your heart is not defiled and become bitter. When Joseph forgave his brother, it was not for his brothers. It was for himself. If he was bitter, he would never end in palace. He would die in prison. If Joseph was bitter, God would let him die in prison. When you're bitter, you cannot be a blessing. If Joseph was bitter, he could not interpret for the cupbearer and the baker. He would be sucking his thumb, licking his wound. How many of you are still sucking your thumb and licking your wound? Come on, forgive, move on. Are you there? You're very quiet. Look, we all go through difficult times. We all get hurt. We all get offended. We all have stories to tell, right? The point is, God allow it to make us a better person, to build our character, not to become bitter. Watch out for that. The season of lack, the season of crisis, a challenge, problem, whatever you go through, always guard your heart. Because the Bible says in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you cannot see God and experience God, you are finished. But if God is with you, who can be against you? If God is with you, the best is yet to come. Amen? Now, season comes, season change. The next season, it's harvest. Hallelujah. So, being at the right place at the right time, they moved back. Naomi moved back in verse 22 of Ruth 1 at the beginning of a barley harvest. I want to prophesy to you this morning, there's coming a new season of harvest. I was talking to Pastor Andrew last night about how there were past revival that happened in New Zealand. How many remember those revival days in the 70s, the 80s? And God was truly moving powerfully in New Zealand. And then for a season of time, it stopped, right? But I believe it's coming back again. And I believe I will come and witness what God is doing in your nation. And I want to be part of what God is doing in your nation. Praise the Lord. So, verse 1, chapter 2, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man, a great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth and Mabatai said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of the grain after him whose side I may find favor. She said to her, go, my daughter. Wow. You know, Ruth is such a woman of faith. First of all, she followed the mother-in-law. She left her culture, her familiarity, her food, her people, her language, and come to Bethlehem together with the mother-in-law. She forsook her future, seemingly. And she was such a woman of faith. She said, look, I will go to the field where I find favor. Wow. What a declaration. She knows she's a Moabite girl. How many of you know in those days, if you are Moabite girl, you're second class in Israel? The Jews are, you know, the Gentiles are called dogs. Remember Jesus' time? It's true. The Jews are the race, the nation. And other nations surrounding, they are Gentiles, they are dogs, they are unclean. They are uncircumcised. Are you there? And here Ruth did not allow her past, her culture, her skin color, her inferiority. And what happened to her as a widow? She believed she'll go to a place where she'll find favor. Did she find favor? Yes. Now, in Israel, how many of you have never been to Israel? Would like to go someday? Can I see your hand? May God grant the desire of your heart. So she went, and in Israel, there are many, many fields to glean. In those days, there is a special unwritten law. The owner of the field will leave 10% of the grain so that the poor, the widow, the orphans can come and glean. It's a principle of tithing. So anybody who is poor, widow, or orphan can go to any field during harvest. The owner of the field will leave 10% of the produce of the harvest. Help yourself. Isn't that beautiful? That means everybody is taken care of. Beautiful, isn't it? Now, there are hundreds of fields that Ruth could go and glean. She landed in the field that belongs to Boaz. Isn't that amazing? Being at the right place at the right time, meeting the right person. The unseen hand of God moved on her behalf. Number one, she experienced divine favor. She found favor in the eyes of Boaz. Number two, she experienced divine provision. Number three, she experienced divine connection. Three things Ruth experienced: favor, provision, connection. Let this be a prophetic word for you, that you're about to experience a divine provision, a divine favor, a divine connection. Somebody gives you the money to go to Malaysia. Isn't it wonderful? And you buy economy class and they upgrade you to business class. Isn't that wonderful? Anybody experience flying economy class and upgraded to business class? Isn't that wonderful? It's a good feeling, right? I was flying economy class, I think, to the Philippines from Malaysia. And I was given a choice between chicken and fish. I wanted chicken. They ran out of chicken. The fish, I like fish. Actually, I love fish. But the fish, it's not good because it's dory fish from Vietnam. It's never eat dory fish from Vietnam. It is frozen. There's chemicals, preservatives, etc. It's a terrible fish. Okay, anyway. So I said, no, thank you. I don't want fish. I said, it's okay. Just give me a couple of peanuts. I was happy with it. I wasn't complaining. I wasn't angry. I said, praise God. Maybe time to fast. So I just mind my own business and they serve. About half an hour later, the flight steward from the business class came to me and said, I'm sorry, Paul, we ran out of chicken. Can I help you? Can I give you the lamb shank from the business class? Yes, thank you. You know, the business class, the cutlery is different. The portion is different. And he have many things. And all my neighbors surrounding looking at me and, who is this fella? He get Lam Sheng from the business class. What do you call this? Favor. I'm going to Brisbane end of this year. A businessman just WhatsApped me. Say, I'm going to buy your air ticket and your wife to go to Brisbane. How many wants to experience that? You're not excited. I know it's not buying for you. How many would like to experience that? Divine provision. Supernatural provision. Upon your life. Amen. Get ready. Don't your neighbor say, get ready. Supernatural connection. Now, you must understand Boaz is a godly man, a spiritual man, and a wealthy man. What a combination. Do you know that? A lot of wealthy men are not spiritual. A lot of spiritual men are poor. Are you there? That's why women find it very hard to marry. But it's a rare combination when you meet a godly, spiritual, and wealthy man. Any single woman here, don't put up your hand. You can start praying for your Boaz. That's why you came here this morning. So there's hope, huh? Ruth and Naomi experience divine provision, divine favor, and divine connection. Now, there's no reason why Boaz should like this Moab girl. She's a foreigner. She's a widow. And she, at this point of time, Boaz didn't know that she's related to this girl. How many of you have met people for no rhyme and reason, they just like you? They just get connected with you. You see, there is a supernatural thing called the favor of God. There's a supernatural thing called the divine connection. Not every person you meet you are connected with. Am I right? But there's a certain person that God brings into your life, you're connected for a greater purpose. And you've got to be very sensitive when God brings such person into your life. I'm very, very sensitive about being at the right place, at the right time, meeting the right people. The reverse is also true. You can be at the wrong place, at the wrong time, and meet the wrong person, and you are doomed. Samson was at the wrong place, at the wrong time, meet the wrong person called Delilah. You know why? Her name is Delilah because she always said, lie with me, la, lie with me, la. In Malaysia, we use the word la as a language. In Malaysia, we use the word la. It means it's a Malay language. It's like, make it very nice and rhythmatic. So, you see, you can be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Like Balaam. He was not supposed to go and curse God's people. He went. And the donkey spoke to him. A wrong place. At the wrong time. The angel of the Lord with a drawn sword was going to kill him. Wrong place. Wrong time. Going with the wrong people. Saul. King Saul. He started off his ministry having a meal with Samuel the prophet. He ended his ministry having a meal with a witch. Who have you been eating lately? Will determine your destiny. Or that's another sermon. Who are you connected with? Because that will determine your destiny. Praise the Lord. Chapter 2, harvest time. A birth of a new season. Chapter 3. Harvest is finished. is transition time. It's transition time. Harvest is finished. Famine is finished. And now, chapter 3, verse 3, Naomi told Ruth to do something powerful. Now, if you study the book of Ruth, Naomi is a type of the Holy Spirit. Ruth is a type of the bride of Christ. Boaz is a type of redeemer, kinsman, Jesus. Right? If you understand that and you study of Ruth, the book of Ruth becomes alive. I encourage you to go back and read the book of Ruth. Now, Naomi, a type of the Holy Spirit, told Ruth, chapter 3, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on the best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Now, this is a season of transition. There was no... We do not know what happened. Transition is a very difficult period of time. We all go through transition. Anybody have teenagers in your home? You know why teenagers are difficult people? I tell you why. They are not adult. They try to behave like adult, but they still have their childish ways. The hormone kicks in. They don't know how to deal with it. They get wild, they get angry, they have emotional swing. You know something? They are neither a child nor an adult. The teenage years are very difficult years. We all go through transition. How many of you just get married? You go through transition. And then the first baby born, you go through transition, right? In the natural, we go through transition from high school to university and areas in our life. Spiritually, we also go through transition. And sometimes when we don't know how to handle the season of transition, it can destroy us and kill us. I remember when I was accepted to a university in Malaysia, I was living in a town about an hour away, a small town. I was the youngest of 10 in my family. Everything was provided. I never get a chance to cook. I never get a chance to wash. I had 6 sisters above me, the youngest. I was blessed. I was spoiled. Never do housework, never do anything. And I have a very bad sense of direction. My existence was about 10, 15 minutes bicycle ride around the town. And I have a very bad sense of direction. And now, I finished high school. I was accepted to university in Kuala Lumpur, the capital city. Wow, it was a shock to the system. And now I'm all by myself. I have to handle everything by myself. I tell you, I went to depression. I wanted to quit my study and go back to my little cocoon. Transition can either make you or break you. You either transit to the next level or you remain the same the rest of your life. How many here like lobster? Anybody here like lobster? Do you have lobster? Is it an expensive item? You didn't put up your hand because you couldn't afford. Oh, sorry, not... Never mind. Sorry, that's not meant anything. But don't worry, God's going to provide. Okay. Now, if you read about lobster has two stages of growth. A lobster will grow to a teenage size. Not fully grown yet. Half the size of an adult lobster. Now, something happened. They have to shed the skin, the shell. Now, the shell, the skin is a protection. You know, lobster without the shell and the skin, you're just a lump of flesh. Easy meat for the ocean predators. So now, the lobster has grown to half its size. The shell has to let go. But if it will not let go the shell, because it's a form of security and protection, the same shell, the same skin that protect the lobster will become a prison and a coffin. Because you will outgrow. You will die. So, God put the sense of risk in the lobster. Amazing. So, the lobster will shed the skin, the shell. And now you will hide somewhere under the rock somewhere, waiting for the next season of the new skin, the new shell to grow. And praying and hoping that no ocean predator will see you and eat you. It's a time of great rest. It's a time of letting go of the past. It's a time of letting go of the last season. It meant well. The shell and the skin meant well for the last season. But for the new season, it will kill you. It was a blessing in the last season, but it'll be a curse in the new season. It was a blessing in the last season, but it's going to be a pain in the new season because you have outgrown. And it waits and waits until the new shell, the new skin is formed. And now it grows to the adult-sized lobster and it lands on your Christmas dining table. Hallelujah. Now, Naomi told Ruth to do something. He said, take off your widow's garment and put on your best garment. You see, as a widow wearing a widow's garment, she's entitled to glean from any field, right? And now a new season has arrived. She's going to take off her widow's garment. Why? Because she's going to get married. When you're about to get married, you don't want to put on a widow's garment, right? Naomi saw prophetically and told Ruth, take off your widow's garment, transition. When you go to transition, you got to let go of the old. Old habits, old attitudes, old way of thinking. Let go of the past, let go of the pain, let go of the bitterness, let go of the disappointment, and put on a new garment. I don't know this morning what God is speaking to you to let go and take off. But I suggest if you got a new dress, a new shirt, wear it this Sunday and say, I'm putting on a new season. A new garment, a new dress, a prophetic act. Because the season is about to change. Some of you may be going through transition right now. But I've got good news for you. The best is yet to come. Chapter 4. Ruth got married to Boaz. Dang, 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 dang. You like that, right? Don't give up, those of you who are single women and single men. She got married to Boaz. And out of that union came David, came Jesus. Who would think that Moab, that little girl, in this strange country, someday, out of her seed, her generation, will come Jesus, the Messiah. Chapter 4 is a season that impacts nations and generations. It's a season where you write history. Do you believe that? I shared about my son yesterday. At 16, he wrote songs, cut an album, did a concert, have a Christian band at 16. Don't you know that's outstanding? And he's writing history. He was invited for Donald Trump's inauguration. Can you imagine? My prime minister was not invited and he was invited. He was given a special pass that cost $600. I mean, my Malaysian embassy in Washington, D.C. called him up, gave him a VIP lunch, spoke to him for an hour, gave him a certificate of appreciation for being invited to attend Donald Trump's inauguration. He's writing history. Do you know it came out in our Malaysian newspaper and it became viral? Because Malaysian is known for bad news. But there's something good news. Did you follow the news? the half-brother of the North Korean leader was murdered in Malaysia airport just a few days ago. Anybody follow the news? Okay. Now, this is good news because our Malaysian police is first class. They caught the two assassins and there's another four accomplices, four men. They already caught the two assassins, the two women, one with a Vietnamese passport, the other with Indonesian passports. And the man, the boyfriend was caught. Our Malaysian police are really brilliant and good, actually, if they are not corrupt. But what I'm saying is, you can write history. Your children can write history. You can impact the nations and generations for Jesus. So don't give up, because the best season is yet to come. Let's stand. Are you blessed? You look so stunned. Is it possible? Yes. If you tell me 20 years ago, if it is possible, I will just laugh at you. If you tell me that my son's going to be invited to attend Donald Trump's inauguration, I said, you must be nuts. You must be out of this world. But you know it's possible. It is possible. As you follow the leading of God, as you obey the voice of God, just play for me. As we close this session for this morning, just go through the four seasons. The famine, the lack, the difficult time, the harvest season, the transition season, and then the last season, glory and honor, impacting nations and generations, history maker for Jesus. Can you be a history maker? Why not? Can your children? Can your grandchildren? Can this church be a history maker? Why not? Just believe God for great things. Remember, God is birthing a new season. Don't be bitter. Take off the old widow's garment, because a new season has arrived. Father, we thank you for this morning, this afternoon. You felt God spoke to you through this book of Ruth. Just raise both your hand. I want to pray for you as we close. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your eternal word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall remain. Thank you for speaking to us through the book of Ruth. Pray the season will change. Blessings and breakthrough will continue. Bless every one of them today. Let this year, 2017, be the best years of their life, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Just receive and let the word of God sink into your spirit, even right now, Lord. Oh, what a holy moment it is, Father. Lord, you're putting the seed of the word of God into our heart and into our spirit. And I pray it's going to bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. I give you all the glory, Lord. Receive it right now in Jesus' name. Receive it right now in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen, amen. God bless you. Invite somebody for tonight's meeting. All right? Don't miss tonight's meeting. God bless you.